Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, May 5th, 2016. Happy Cinco de Mayo. It's good to have you here. Dave Hamilton.
Thanks for having me. Yep, I have my sombrero on because I'm told that's what I'm supposed to wear on Cinco de Mayo.
And nothing else. Which probably explains the weird court order that I got.
Yeah.
Anyhow, John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning. I've got all the windows open.
Oh, I wish I could have all of my windows open. Right now, my place is sealed up as if I'm in an Apollo capsule because of my allergies. Yeah. But, you know, I live in a world where I can seal up my windows, turn on an incredible air purifier, and life is good. Also, another thing that's making life good is that Yoink from Eternal Storms is our sponsor this week, which is pretty cool. I'll be talking about them soon. Before we do that, though, Dave, I wanted to talk some about your experience with the iPhone SE. Because you are the guy that's been playing with one, and the phone that you've been using up until you started testing the SE was a 6S Plus.
Yeah, and it's been interesting. I obviously used a 5 and a 5S. I've always had the latest iPhone, right? It not only is it sort of relevant to what we do here, but I also like to have the fastest phone that I can use, right?
Sure.
You know, and maybe I guess we could make all kinds of arguments about whether or not, you know, we should be testing the slower phones too. But for the most part, we all live with the faster iPhones every year. So when the 6 came out, I remember going to Apple's event and saying, okay, so iPhones just got bigger, right? Because in order to have the latest and greatest and the fastest, I had to move up from my 5S sized iPhone. So it was like, okay, great. So I go into the little room, the demo room, and I remember asking them, hey, can I put these in my pocket? You know, they always let you hold them and mess with them, but it looks a little weird if you start slipping things into your pocket.
Sure.
You're not supposed to take with you. And the guy's like, oh, sure, no problem. And I remember putting both the 6 and the 6S in my pocket. Or sorry, the 6 and the 6 Plus in my pocket. I'm going to have trouble confusing all of these terms, but it was the 6 and the 6 Plus. And I remember putting them both in my pocket and saying, okay, you know, I really won't be comfortable sitting down with either one of these in my pocket. But they both sort of fit the same. I'm a 6'3" guy. So, you know, my pants pockets, my jeans pockets are deep enough to hold any size iPhone that exists. And so
even small children.
Yeah, sometimes. That's right. So I decided, well, and I was sort of on the fence. Do I get the small one? Do I get the big one? I thought, and I kept going, remembering, well, it's the pocket, and the big one has a, you know, better camera, bigger battery, and, you know, obviously a larger screen. I thought, no, you know what? If I have to go with a bigger iPhone, I'm just going to go all the way. And so I did. And I've been that way for a year and a half. I had the 6 Plus and then the 6S Plus. And throughout that time, I did test the 6. Once I got used to the 6 Plus, I tested an iPhone 6 for, you know, again, about a month and a half. And it was fine, but in my pocket and really even in my hand, I didn't notice. It wasn't that much smaller than the plus-sized iPhone, and it certainly wasn't worth, you know, going to this smaller phone. I could, you know, the size of it was not small enough that it mattered, right? So it was like, well, if I got to deal with this, I'm going to have the big phone. It's great. And there certainly have been occasions where having the large screen absolutely made a difference. There's been lots of occasions where having it has been convenient. Looking at pictures, for example, right? You know, it's a gorgeous big screen. Watching a movie on an airplane, I don't know that I'd really do that on an SE size phone. And then there've been a handful of scenarios where I've needed to do something that really required like an iPad or a computer, but because I had this plus sized iPhone, I was able to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a 5S that I keep as sort of our family's backup, and it sits here on my desk. And so every 2 weeks I charge it. I keep the electrons flowing. I keep the phone on in airplane mode. It trickles down slowly and I turn it on, or I plug it in when it gets low and I charge it up. So that's about an every 2 week cycle. And every 2 weeks I grab this phone and I think, wow, that's the size phone you want, right? I mean, it fits nicely in your hand. It's all of that, but it was never an option. Right, I never had to actually address that desire because I knew I didn't want to go with a slower phone. It was this easy thing to say that I liked, but I didn't have to live with the consequence of having a smaller screen with me all the time, because it was like, well, it's not fast enough. Certainly, it's fast enough for many things, but for me, it wasn't fast enough. So it was this easy thing. I could say I liked it, but I never did. And then the SE came out, and it was like, well, it's time to, put your money where your mouth is. So I got an SE on loan from Apple to test it out, and I've been using it for about the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I am absolutely in love with this thing because it's fast enough. It's technically the same as a 6S with two exceptions. One is the Touch ID sensor is the slower, older version of Touch ID, which is fine for me. And it doesn't have 3D touch, which is something that I just started forcing myself to use. So that experiment sort of gets put on hold, the 3D touch thing for me personally. But otherwise, that's what it is. And man, having the speed that I want in this, what now feels like a tiny iPhone is awesome. It took me about a day to get used to typing on it again because it's a smaller keyboard.
Sure.
Yeah. But that was, I'd done it for years, right? Typing on that keyboard. So it really wasn't a problem getting there. I find that it's certainly in the last 3 weeks, I have not found any occasion where I've truly missed, like longed for the larger screen. The first time I started looking at photos on my phone, we went somewhere, I took some pictures, and then I started looking at photos. It was like, oh, right. Okay, this is different. That was really the first time, though. Like email, web browsing, Facebook, Twitter, the stuff that I do sort of on a regular basis, I almost didn't even notice that the screen was smaller.
I got a question for you, Dave.
But looking at pictures, it was, not only did I notice it, it was like, okay, so this is, here's a compromise, right?
I got a question for you, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, John. Sorry.
Throughout all our adult lives, we've been focused on miniaturization. Smaller is better. If the iPhone had started off really big, then every successive generation of getting smaller and cuter and more powerful would be pleasing. Is perhaps that much power in that smaller device, which kind of presses our miniaturization button, perhaps part of the factor?
Probably, yeah. I mean, no one wants to have a huge device with them all the time, right? We want the benefits of a huge device while also having it as small as possible. I think that certainly feeds that. And the screen size is really, obviously the biggest thing I've given up. There's a couple of other things. The camera in the plus size iPhone is better than this one. And I've noticed that in low light scenarios, it was obvious. It's not a terrible camera. I mean, it's a really good camera in the SE. There are differences. And
did you put it in a case?
I did. I like the concept. When I had my 5S, actually, was when I started using a wallet case. And when I say wallet case, I've used all manner of them. I've used the ones that are just, that have just a slot on the back for your, a credit card and your license. I've used the ones that have the flip over, fold over kind of thing. Right now, the case that I put on this is a leather case that just has a couple of slots in the back for a credit card and my license, which is similar to what I had on my 6S Plus.
So the reason I ask is because every time I take my iPhone 6 or 6S out of the case, I'm amazed at how elegant and beautiful and small it is. And the case adds a certain amount of bulk. But in your case, obviously, the case that you put the SE into didn't seem to negate the smallness of it.
No, it's a pretty thin case. It really doesn't add much bulk to it at all. It's very similar to Apple's, their leather case that they have. This just has a couple of slots for, in fact, I think Apple's leather case actually works. I've got them both here in my hand. Apple's leather case is actually wider than the case that I have on the phone. So,
oh, wow.
I don't know how protective this case that I have is. I've had some of my stash of old 5S cases, but I didn't have a wallet case that served my needs. So I just went on Amazon. Really, I should have bought a case from Senna or something that's much nicer and actually been tested. But I just went on Amazon and for $10 I bought, some fake leather kind of thing, and it serves my purpose and lets me test it. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. All right, so now this fall, presumably, we have new iPhones coming out. We'll go with iPhone 7 for the model. And at that point, the 6S Plus that you're using, well, it'll be ready for replacement.
Yep.
And I'm assuming by that point, the loaner you have from Apple for testing for the iPhone SE will be gone.
Oh, do we have to talk about that part of this? I've been in denial about that.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Okay.
But the first step in recovering from this problem is admitting there's an issue here, and now we can work towards fixing it.
Yeah, I mean, I've typed the email to Apple that says something about prying it from my cold dead fingers, but I haven't sent it yet. So
that's good, because my assumption is Apple has people that could make that happen.
Yeah, we'll just leave that. We'll leave that alone. That's right. But yes, so when the time comes in the fall, presumably, I mean, we're making a lot of presumptions here, but they're well founded in history, at least.
Apple has a track record.
Yep. So my guess is that we will have small, medium, and large versions of the iPhone 7. But, you know, it is worth saying that the iPhone SE is not called the iPhone 6 SE. It is called the iPhone SE. So my hope is that Apple updates the SE at the same time that they update all the other phones. But it is, I think we have to accept that it is possible.
That may not happen.
That they may not, right. I mean, this phone was not built for me. I don't think Apple built it for people like me. I think they built it for the Asian market, to be brutally honest.
And
to make an inexpensive phone that was smaller, that, you know, fit all these criteria that these people wanted, because they said, look, lots of people are buying these things, buying 5S's, we should update the specs on that. But I worry that in the fall, I'm going to be stuck in a real conundrum, because the 6 is here. My feeling on the sizes, and this is my feeling, but I will tell you, is I don't think there's any need for a 6-sized iPhone or 6S-sized iPhone. I think they should have the plus-sized iPhone, and they should have the SE-sized iPhone.
So no, what I'll call a medium-sized iPhone.
No medium. No, because...
I disagree, Brian. I've been using a 6 and a 6S.
Dave, but that's okay.
They're awesome.
That's Dave.
They are awesome. But I think if you moved from a 6S to a 6S Plus, you would find it to be more awesome. And really, the size difference between them isn't overly remarkable. But when it comes down to, you know, fitting them in your pocket and holding them in your hand, I've tested all three, and I realize I'm in a unique scenario that I've had at least, well, with the SE, you know, only 3 weeks, 2.5, but I've essentially had at least a month with each size of iPhone. And I realize most people don't get to do that, but having done that, the 6, and even after I got the SE for a week or so, you know, once I'd had it for a week and was really, you know, enamored with it, I swapped to a 6 for a couple of days just to see, like, okay, you know, is it just that this other one's too big, or is it that, you know, this is the right size for me? And it was like, no, that the 6 is also too big. So I think splitting the difference, it, you know, it's this compromise that, like any compromise, I'm not convinced it's the right one.
Yeah, but you got to remember that there's a lot of different users out there, different sizes and predilections of people. And I'm sure there are lots of users who just are fixated on the middle version because it's just the right size for them.
Well, I think they think it's the right size for them. I as I've been kind of going around, you know, even the people in my house are like, huh, you know, my kids both use 6-sized iPhones and they're like you, right? For the most part, they say this is definitively, you know, the right size phone for me. And there might be an argument to be made there. My son likes to play a lot of games on his phone. But he doesn't want the big monster phone, although he hasn't tried it yet. So I'm not convinced that he doesn't want the big monster phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think he probably does, to be honest with you. I think there's too many compromises in the middle-sized iPhone. You don't get any of the benefits of one or the other. You know, I as a 6'3 guy, I can't sit with an iPhone 6 in my pocket. I can sit with an SE. Can't sit with a 6 or a 6 Plus. I mean, I can, but it's just not comfortable. So I feel like, you know, if you're going to do it, go one way, go the other. That's my feeling. But
all right.
People yell at me about it, which is good.
Well, I'm curious what our listeners think, because when you started talking about this, I was quite surprised to hear you say that the smaller iPhone's the right one for you. Listeners, I'm curious, which is the right iPhone for you? Let me know. Hit me up on Twitter. That would be at Tumo Daily. You can hit me up via email. That would be observations@macobserver.com. And then, of course, you can always leave comments in today's show notes. I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys think. And we have a sponsor, which I believe I already mentioned. But yes, we have a sponsor, and that would be Yoink from Eternal Storms. And Yoink is one of those little tools that when you hear about it, at first you're like, well, I'm not exactly sure what I need this for. And what it is, it's a repository for whatever it is that you need to copy or remove on your Mac. And so you can click on something, this little drawer magically pops out from the side of your screen, and you can just drag whatever into it. So I've thrown full documents in there, groups of documents. I've thrown elements from Photoshop files, text clippings, and then all that stuff is in one little place, and now I can put it where it needs to go easily. And I'm using a big display. Right now I have a 34-inch display, and I can line up a bunch of windows and move stuff easily between those windows. And still, it is easier for me to use Yoink to manage all of that, because sometimes what I need to do is move something, do something else, and then put that something where it needs to go. So I just have this one place where I can toss things, move them around easily, and it just works. And I found it to be really, really useful. It's only $6.99, and it took me less than a week to get more than $6.99 value out of this app. You need to check it out. It's a great, useful utility. So head over to their website, eternalstorms.at/TDO. And when you go there, that lets the Eternal Storms crew know that you heard about their app here on Daily Observations. And you can check out a little video showing how the app does the magic things that it does. And then there's a link to the App Store so you can go download it. It's only $6.99. Totally do it. eternalstorms.at/TDO. Thank you, Yoink, for being our sponsor. Okay, we are short on time. But there's one other thing I wanted to hit real quick before we have to wrap up. And this is the article or the news that Los Angeles Police Department was able to hack into an iPhone 5S as part of a homicide investigation that they've been conducting. And I've seen this popping up all over the internet like it's this really big thing. And I'm looking at it and I'm not seeing it as a big thing. And the reason being is because the iPhone is running iOS 7, and iOS 7 doesn't have that whole device encryption like we got in iOS 8. So hacking into an iPhone running iOS 7 is, in technological terms, a relatively trivial process. And so I'm curious, do you two see this as something that's essentially a non-issue, or am I just downplaying it?
Well, first of all, it's a non-issue because it's an older phone running iOS 7. But what I worry about, since we don't have much time left, is the grander issue of all this press about the police getting into iPhones, and whether it's running 7 or 8 or whether it's a different kind of iPhone that has weaker, doesn't have a secure enclave. There's a spectrum here, but there's such a wealth of body of knowledge now of police having to break into these phones that when the day comes when they can't anymore, there's going to be a blow up and there's going to be another confrontation with Apple.
I think we're going to see ongoing confrontations. Dave, do you have anything to add?
I don't really have anything to add. I agree with you that it's not that big of a deal. But this particular box of Pandora's has been opened now to converse about this stuff. And that's a good thing, right? I mean, this is now something that every time it happens, at least for a while, people are going to talk about it. And I'm glad for that. But what that does mean is when these things that aren't a big deal happen, they're still going to be talked about and people are going to get all up in arms about it. Not because of this, but just because of the broader issue that we really haven't put that conversation to bed yet. I mean, we need to figure that part out. So I think that's where the big deal is. It's the meta issue.
All right. I'll accept that. Yeah, and with that, we really are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Yeah, thanks for letting me ramble.
Oh, sure. I really enjoyed it. John, thank you for being here, too.
You're welcome. Always fun.
Yes, always fun. Yoink, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, eternalstorms.at/TDO. Pick up a copy of Yoink. It, you're going to like it. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.